Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hello, America and other nations on the globe called Earth. What is up? How are we? We are in the year. It is the worst year. But wait,
it's not a great year ever.
No, it's not. It's not the greatest year ever. But maybe it is for you personally, if you're listening. And if
I hope so.
True,
I hope
congratulations.
So. Unless you're like Peter Thiel or somebody, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Why is his name spelled like that?
I am.
Sorry.
Livid.
That's
I'm
your
livid.
That's your issue with Peter Thiel.
Every time I see his name, I read it wrong, even though I know what his name is. So
Thiel. Teenager blood coursing through his veins.
Hi guys. We just caught up for a while before we started recording, but at this point in the episode, I want to ask you, how are you doing and how was your Thanksgiving? Because our listeners don't know. Cody, you're super open about all of your private life. Give them specific details of your Thanksgiving.
I love being really public with the happenings of my personal life. I like there being no dividing line between me recording my thoughts and me living my life. Hello! It was fine. I went to meet some of my girlfriend's family. That was nice and pleasant, and we ate, and then eventually we left.
Cool. Nice.
And that is the end of my very detailed.
Robert got drunk and cooked an alligator.
I did get drunk and cook a gator. Well, I cooked a gator in the proper way to cook that animal, and in the method that I was using, which was a pit fire, is to drink heavily and measure the passage of time by how many drinks you've had. And by the time you've blacked out and people have to fight you in order to remove the gator from the fire, the gator is probably properly cooked. And in this case, it was.
Your next book should be like a cookbook.
I would have one meal on it, and it's throw meat in a hole.
But like most of the recipe is your adventure during the day as you're getting drunk. Do you know what I mean? It's not really a cookbook. It's just a story.
It's a cooking experience.
It's
cooking memoirs.
Just a tale. My Thanksgiving was nice, thank you.
Good.
And I talked about how grateful I was for friends like you.
That's nice.
That's
sweet.
That is sweet and nice. And
And
true.
Definitely true. Definitely a true thing.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about some news?
It's been a while.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
I guess we'll start with the story that you most wanted to talk about this week, because the story I'm very selfish about.
Nope. Wait, hold up.
What?
This isn't the story that I most wanted to talk about this week. I think that we do need to talk about it. I have another story that I most wanted to talk about and that I actually prepped to talk about. Imagined would be a conversation, but Sophie wanted us to talk about this first, and she's probably correct.
Okay, well, whatever.
She is probably correct. Three men were convicted of murder last Wednesday in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, and all three of them are facing a mandatory life sentence in prison. although, we'll see. They're going to appeal it. Already have talked about this. And it's good. Right? It's good. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
Throwing it to you guys to get this started.
I mean, the only reason I wasn't, there's not a whole lot to say about it. It's, it's the, I think, minimum you can expect when a man is lynched. That's what it is. And I'm glad that they didn't get off, because that would have been a much more dangerous precedent, I think, than anything that could have come out of the Rittenhouse case in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
The thing happened that is not the worst thing that could have happened, so good.
There are some bigger conversations within it, though. Part of it is the way that the trial went out and the tactics. So obviously this is a trial about race. There's you appropriately described it as a lynching because that's what it was. But that's not what was on trial necessarily within this. And there was a lot of criticism throughout it. But ultimately, it paid off. You know, I was listening to interviews and reading things, you know, and it was a majority white jury. And I think there was a case of the prosecution didn't necessarily want to antagonize the mostly white jury. And so, you know, that wasn't necessarily the specific angle. I mean, it was, but it was just a bit coded, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked, but there's something in me that's like, I, you know, and I know that the federal trial will focus more about the specificity of it being a hate crime. So there is that.
Yeah, treating the delicate jury with their little kid gloves.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. Did you guys see this? The DA, the defense's closing statements, I believe, they described him as having dirty feet. You know, and again, it's what makes there's so much about this that's awful, but she literally said that's unpopular to say, but I'm proud to say it or something to that effect. It's not like there's stuff to unpack here, but I do feel it's important to address
that it happened.
Thing that is happening. Yeah, that it's happening. Exactly. It continues to happen. What worked, what didn't, how depressing that fucking is. Like,
yep.
That even in this trial of a hate crime, we're not talking about race. Even in Kyle Rittenhouse's trial, we're not talking about the fact that the why as to why he was there, who he felt needed to be protected and who didn't. You know, it's just
buildings.
Frustrating.
Buildings needed to be protected.
Yes. What needed to be protected. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know what to say on these cases. I don't think there's any real solution through the legal system to this kind of thing.
No.
So I don't know. the most I can say is that, like, yeah, this isn't the worst thing that could have happened. So good.
Yeah. A lot of these trials are sort of like the public, like aspects of the public, like seeing if they have permission to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's good that we were like, well, not in this case.
Yeah.
This is a little much. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Adjust your behavior slightly, I guess.
I would like to be able to call it what it is in the trial that everybody's watching. I would like that. I would like us to be living in a world where you're not treating the white jury with more respect than the person who was murdered.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
There was this whole thing. I don't know the specifics of it, but there was this whole piece of evidence that they didn't bring up. It was something to do with their license plate holder that would help present the case that it was racially motivated. But they didn't, because there's a good chance that some of the jurors had that same license plate, you know?
Yeah. What was the plate? Oh, it was a Confederate flag plate.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's the kind of thing that, like, racists have it, and people who don't realize that it's racist have it.
Right. So they don't want to bring this up in the trial. But yeah, it's one of those things, we're dancing around it. But why? We should be at a point here in America where we can point it out and understand what it means and what it represents. But we're not.
It means and represents states' rights and nothing else. So, a little history lesson for y'all. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I just give the floor to Robert if he would rather talk about his thing.
I mean, why don't we go on with your thing, Katie?
No. I was just being fun. I don't know that we have much more to say. I'm glad it went the way that it did.
Then it's time to talk about the thing that I think is the most important issue facing our nation right now, which is the NFT cartoon show that I made you both watch.
Yes, you did. How dare you, first of all.
So for some context, there's NFTs, if you're not aware. You should know the basis if you listen to this show. But the way that it has evolved. Earlier in the year, it was like a bunch of different kind of unique pieces of art, some of which sold for ridiculous amounts of money. And then that bubble kind of collapsed after a while. And the way to prop up the bubble next turned out to be launching these sets of usually 10,000 procedurally generated animal drawings of like lions holding blunts and shit, dumb stuff, a lot of apes. And some of these have been very successful. Some of them have sold for millions of dollars. Most of those are just money laundering. Like the big $500 million sale was a guy buying his own NFT and then transferring the money back into his wallet in order to like raise the price to try to con someone else to actually spending that much money on his NFT. So you've got all these monkeys, like the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which just they made a big partnership with, I think it was Rolling Stone. They're like all over the place. They've been doing ads in Times Square. Like there's a lot of money in these right now. And the basics of it is like you buy one of these NFTs that's drawing of a monkey, again, like smoking a blunt or some shit. And they're all the same monkey. All the drawings are nearly identical.
Apes?
And, yeah, apes. Apes. And when you have that, you both have this NFT that you could sell. You also get access to like a chat room that they all hang out in.
Wait, what?
Oh, that's a big part of it. They have like a Discord. Yeah. And Jimmy Fallon's got one. So Cody, you could be chatting with Jimmy Fallon on the reg.
Epic.
If you get a Bored Ape. Come on, man. You text me every day. I wonder what Jimmy Fallon's doing right now.
What does Jimmy Fallon have to say about this? Exactly.
Wait, hold on.
Oof. Oh, you buy Jimmy, I'm coming for you.
And then you go into a chat room?
Yeah, you get access to like a chat room and they have there's
so
like
it's
this
just a bad avatar?
Kind of, yeah. Because there's also there's this a bunch of these
bad
different things. So like
Bavatar,
one thing that exists along this is like this kind of Second Life style MMO where you can like own digital real estate. And so some people are buying NFTs that also unlock like at buildings or boats or whatever in this game. Anyway, there's a bunch of dumb shit. NFTs are there's a ton of dumb shit with NFTs. We don't need to go into it too much.
No fucking time, am I right?
Yeah. So that. you've got all these stupid monkey clubs that people are joining. And one of the things that NFTs on their own give you nothing. But individual NFTs, like if you buy one of these Bored Ape Yacht Club apes or some of the other big NFT kits, you gain the rights to license your character, which are, again, almost identical procedurally generated drawings of monkeys.
You could make your own drawing of a monkey and license that.
I know. You do have that right, Katie.
This is unbelievable.
So some guys launched what they're bragging is the first NFT cartoon. And whenever I've actually gone into the comments, a bunch of NFT nerds have been like, actually, there's another one that's much earlier. Yeah, I don't care. It's probably dumb, too. Mm. But their big selling point is that like all of the main characters on the show are all like licensed from people who just own NFTs, and the background characters are licensing, and this is how everything's going to work in the future. This is how every like show's going to be funded. Like you'll buy NFTs and then you'll have the licensing rights to that little character in the show, except for we'll talk about the show in a bit, but like that's the idea that like this is how it's going to revolutionize entertainment is people will – you'll say, hey, I want to do a show about a bunch of – monkeys on Mars, and we'll be using avatars from this set of characters, and people will buy them, and then that money funds your show, right? Like that's the idea, and it's good for the people funding it because they can license the characters if they. I'm sure the way they're selling this is like, imagine if like you'd bought Homer Simpson for like $50 to fund The Simpsons. Like, how much money would you have now? That's kind of the sales pitch, right?
I know it's already been pitched. And it's happening, and there's nothing to be done about it. What a terrible idea.
What a terrible, stupid anti-creative idea.
Like, we don't need to spend too much time on this, but that is really depressing and just a horrific approach to art.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, not, you know, every TV show is like different. Blah, blah, blah. That is horrendous. I am so bummed out to know that that is definitely the future of at least a good portion of entertainment and art.
Well, I don't know that it is because we just watched
like,
the first episode.
Well, it's really good, so I think it's going to be
the Red
successful.
Ape Family. You can find it on YouTube. It had like 150,000 views when I watched it, most of which I think have come since people started making fun of it online. It was like 40 or 50,000 views when I watched it and started tweeting about it. So you guys watched it. What did you think?
Gave them those views. It was so bad, Robert.
It was so bad.
It was so bad.
It's really bad.
And I don't know if I was just busy being mad at it or if it doesn't have a plot, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know anybody's motivations.
Does one of you want to take a stab at describing the plot of this episode?
There's some sort of a heist. Go ahead, Cody.
There are some apes. And
they all have really bad... They're the worst voice actors I've ever heard.
Oh, that's horrible.
The woman sounds like a robot woman. Yeah. Like one of those like text-to-speech
things. It's like somebody got their friends to do it.
Yeah,
and the accents are all over the map.
They're all over the place.
I can't
get the mixing is shit. Like even beyond the accents, you can tell every character was a voice recorded in a room thousands of miles apart, right?
Oh yeah.
Which
oh, yeah.
ideally you shouldn't. Like even in a good podcast, it shouldn't quite sound like that.
I mean,
you know,
but they all feel like they were in their own stories.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like with plot.
Yeah, there was no like collaboration.
Weird, I would, story is
there's
generous.
There's like weird things just for the sake of being weird. They're not like rooted in some character motivation or, you know what I mean? Like a well thought out.
Well, yeah, some of
weird,
it is.
But like you, anyway, go ahead.
I mean, some of the, like the randomness you're talking about is very much like trying to mine like the Adult Swim sort of like tone, but they're not. But it's like, forgive the phrase.
Like,
they're aping stuff. Like they're like they're taking
they're aping
things,
stuff
that exist and doing like a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of that.
So that it
thing.
Doesn't make sense.
Even the like blank months earlier, like 2 hours earlier, or whatever. Isn't that just like a fucking SpongeBob thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, a few. It's funny because in terms of like thinking about
it's
what
it's not funny, but the situation,
situation in terms of like what their influences are, because I think that's a fascinating thing
influences
to discuss is like what they're trying to do here. I see bits of like Xavier Renegade Angel. I see like bits of a couple of things, including like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. But more than anything, I think it's Rick and Morty.
For sure.
And I think the thing that they're trying, I think like if I could go back, if I could guess what the pitch was in whatever fucking Discord room for people who own monkey drawings this was dreamed up in, it would be something like, you know, the cool thing about Rick and Morty is they've got all these kooky characters from all around the universe all the time, right? Well, there's all these wacky NFT characters. We could make a show like that, but everybody, like we license people's NFTs and that'll show people this is a good idea. And the problem with that is that
it.
If you look at the I think the individual whose humor they're most, again, aping here is Justin Roiland, right? Like that's, they're really trying to do a lot of Justin Roiland. And if you look at the show that got us Rick and Morty, like the show that was adapted into Rick and Morty was like a series of short animated sketches Justin did called Doc and Marty, which is like a parody of Back to the Future if the Doc was constantly trying to molest a child. Like that really is the joke. And about eight, something like that years ago, whenever it came out, it was funny for the first like 15 minutes or so, maybe like generously. And otherwise the main thing you notice is that, Justin Roiland's really good at voices. And it was not actually funny.
Really
and
missing the mark on the concept here.
The thing that became the reason it's whether you like it or not, it's a successful show, right? It's the biggest animated show in the world. The thing that made it a successful animated show, I'm not going to take a value judgment about it, was that they took the things that Justin Roiland was good at, which was being occasionally wacky and random in a way that was somewhat creative and good at doing voices, and they married it to a team of really good writers and another guy, Dan Harmon, who is excellent at story structure. Mm-hmm. And so the thing about Rick and Morty is as random and silly as some of the comedy is, like, there's always a really pretty tight structure to the stories because it's made by people who care about telling stories. There's not a story here. There's there's not really jokes because they're too random to even be jokes.
Guys. Can I interject real quick and say that we need to take an ad break and then come back, pick this up? Cody, hold that thought. I know you got it.
I do.
Yeah, Cody
has
a lot to say.
Peek behind the curtain. We're really not going anywhere. I've just got to say that we are so that we can put the ads in later.
We're right here. We're right here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
are back from
right
that ad
back.
Break.
Oh,
Cody,
my God. We
what
sure
were you
are.
Going to say?
That the apes deserve the Emmys. that, well, just in terms of like.
NF Temmys.
Robert, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, randomness can be funny if you expect a certain
sure.
thing. And then, like, oh, I'm surprised, so I laugh. But even the quote randomness on a show like Rick and Morty, there is yeah. a rhyme and reason to it.
Yes.
There are expectations that you are given, and then those expectations are subverted. Like, there is a structure to even just the seemingly unstructured parts. And obviously, like, they're going to improvise and do, like, bits and stuff. Like,
yeah.
A bunch of, the two brothers, like, all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Like, it's funny. But there's nothing here that indicates, like, thought beyond, like, oh, random thing, right? I have one big note for it, and I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but in the episode, the mother ape refers to her children as these two little monkeys. And when I was watching it, my thought was, they're not monkeys, they're apes. And then later on, somebody calls them all monkeys, and the mother's like, we're apes. Mm-hmm. We're not monkeys. Do you see a tail? And I am not 100% sure they did that on purpose.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm
I
like
really 50-50
on whether or not they just overlooked the first part.
Really good writing, huh?
Yeah. It's just like, it's just
because if it's supposed to be saying something about her as a character, they're missing them. They're not doing it right.
I don't know what they're trying to say.
Is this like an in joke? I don't know.
Yeah.
So
we really are spending a lot of time talking about
these. It's the most important story in the world.
Well, it is like, because it's not the only thing that's going to be this. It's not the only like licensed, like weird generic avatars turned into a show by people who have no like actual like creative output. This will be a good segue into a thing I want to talk about briefly, which is Mr. Beast's Squid Game.
Yeah. But first, I have one more thing to say about this video.
Please.
One good thing about the video, and also embarrassing, is that there are literally 2 minutes of end credits.
Oh, yeah. End
like,
credits.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm
so many.
Because
they got to give all the people whose NFTs they used credit.
2 minutes of end credits out of an 8-minute video.
It's incredible.
How else would you know it's produced by 2 Chainz?
And it includes
that.
Music by 2 Chainz.
I can't
That's
believe
right.
that. I screenshot
oh,
that
man.
My memory bank.
I like the main monkey's I like his catchphrase. Fuck.
Yeah. Very
So
creative.
Many times. It's just yeah. such a lack
It's
of...
I mean, again, swear words are the only joke they really have. It's just the lamest thing in the world.
Their ship is called Musk
Cody.
One.
Yeah, their ship is called the Musk
know,
One. They're
Musk
going to Muskville on
it's
Mars.
So embarrassing. Cody, do your transition into the other thing that I interrupted.
Speaking of content that is not creative and the death of art. So Mr. Beast, if you're familiar, he's like a gaming YouTuber, kind of all those sorts of things that you would think of. He does a lot of events like I paid this fucking person $10,000 if they fuck their mother, and we're gonna see if they do. That's not an exact example, but that kind of thing. We're like, I'm gonna like give them money and see what they fucking do.
You see, I think we should do that, but for members of Congress. And the thing that we have them do should always be having sex with a dead pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just
hey. That pig was alive in Black Mirror.
And I think we should rule so that that is the only legal form of campaign contribution, and it has to be filmed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to run and you want to use money to run,
more power to you.
You're going to fuck a lot of pigs.
You're
going
to have to fuck that pig. You're going to have to fuck that pig.
If you're running a billion-dollar president, yeah.
Sophie wanted us to mention that Dr. Oz is running for office.
Future pig
like,
fucker,
I don't
Dr.
Know.
Oz.
Future. But now
possibly
we,
current
we
pig fucker
in.
Dr.
I love
Ox.
Just the idea that like every time someone announces like I am putting my hat in the ring for president of the United States, we can call them all future pig fuckers.
Mm-hmm. I am putting my hat in the ring and I am putting my dick in that pig.
That's campaign finance reform for you.
Can we make a hat that says future pig fuckers?
Future pig fuckers of America.
Future pig fucker, every president.
Yeah.
There's something there. Someone hit us up with a design for that. Okay, Cody. Mm-hmm.
for all you future pig fuckers out there. Yeah, so Mr. Beast, he does this kind of thing, and like, whatever, not my cup of tea. Maybe it's your cup of tea. That's cool. But then a show called Squid Game came out, and that show is about people doing people who are desperate for money doing things that maybe they wouldn't do if they weren't desperate for money, like let each other die or literally kill each other. And I don't know, if you've watched the show, it's good.
I still haven't, but at this point, I guess any spoilers are on me.
Well, I'll try to keep it spoiler free, but more or less, it's a game of murder for money, for the entertainment of the wealthy. And so that show is a success because it's good. I think it's good. Some people don't, and that's fine. Some people don't like it because they think it's pro-communism or pro-capitalism or some interpretation. I don't
know. But it is. I mean, it's objectively like the most successful thing Netflix has ever had on, right?
According to Netflix, at least. I think listeners of this show are familiar by now because we have talked about it.
Definitely talked about the shallow
pool.
Tim Pool's little theories.
I have not watched it because watching literally anything would get in the way of rewatching King of the Hill for the umpteenth time.
I understand that.
The thing I'm primarily doing. But it sounds like it's good.
It's good. I liked it.
Baking.
It's good.
Oh, good.
I'm rewatching something else. It's very good, I think, and it's about that. Mr. Beast was like, well, I'm going to do the Squid Games. I'm going to build the Squid Games from Squid Games.
An incredible. And he did it. So if I'm not mistaken, the show is about how dystopian and horrific it would be if people were forced to compete with each other in and like their loved ones in horrible ways in order to make money because they desperately need money.
Yeah.
And a guy made a show where people competed with their loved ones in order to make money. And they didn't die, thankfully. But, like, otherwise, he just did the thing.
He just did the thing.
It's not like a parody. It's not a commentary. He just did the same thing, but without murder.
There's no murder. Nobody dies.
That's
but it is
good.
More or
I mean,
less,
that is like, good.
Yeah, it's just the games from the thing, from the show, without the murder. Which again, yes, is good. But there's no, you know, I skimmed it. I gave it a little glance. There's no like commentary on the thing. There's no drawing connections to what they're doing and the show they're like aping. It's not a parody. It just is the thing. And at the very end, instead of playing Squid Game, they do musical chairs, which very disappointed in them for doing that. I mostly just want to talk about this tweet that is since deleted, actually, on account of how bad it was. Mr. Beast Squid Game video, 103 million views in 4 days. It took 7 weeks to make. Netflix's Squid Game series, 111 million views in 30 days. It took 10 years to make. More views, less time, fewer gatekeepers. That's the promise of the creator economy.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
This is so depressing.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
Well, and the thing is, and the thing that maybe more people should be aware of, this person in particular, and like Mr. Beast, I guess, I don't know. There's content creators, and then there's art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're not the same thing.
They're not the
Sometimes
same thing.
They're the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
But if you're
but his show, his thing doesn't exist without the original, without the concept, without the popularity.
Yeah, nobody would
get out
care
of here,
about
man.
It otherwise.
You leached off of something that already existed. You didn't create anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, like,
your success is like ledger out the achievements of like artists or the creator economy, like as if they're versus each other, then your success goes on the ledger of the guy who made Squid Game. Because there would be nothing for you to do
without
them.
Also, you probably owe him money or something.
You may be breaking the law. I know people are talking about it.
Because he recreated
the guy who made it,
thing.
From what I've read, doesn't seem like a lawsuit dude.
Yeah.
He
recreated the set from the show, which was meticulously designed by artists.
It does seem like he broke the law a bit, right?
Like, But
I think you can call it parody or whatever, even though it's not. It's just the thing.
There's nothing transformative about it.
It took 10 years, aside from the fact that like people just didn't buy the show and didn't want to make the show. It takes a long time to create art from whole cloth. And like, what do the sets look like? Ooh, what if it's this? What if there's some meaning here? Like, you're infusing meaning into the visuals of your show because you're making art. You're not making content in a couple of weeks so that you can just like, the tweet is accurate. And it's depressing that it's accurate because, again, like Mr. Beast, you're doing this video about a show that is kind of about what you do. Like, obviously you don't like put them in dangerous like situations where they have to die, but you're paying people lots of money to do things that they don't want to do because they're desperate for the money. So there's just a huge disconnect there that kind of bums me out. It's fine. It's successful. And we love it, actually.
Doesn't sound like we do.
But yeah, I just saw that and I had to. This is apparently the show where I talk about the Squid Game every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so
what our purview is anymore. So
yeah.
Why the hell not?
Who knows?
Do you guys want to take another quick break?
Oh, God, I love quick breaks. That's the thing that I was really wanting. Mm-hmm. I was just about to text to Sophie, to go good right now.
I'm going to... Mm-hmm.
Quick break.
Break.
BRB.
Quick as hell, baby.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we are back. From that break.
Good times.
Sophie got a package.
I thought more about the Red Ape family.
Oh, you have more to say?
No. Mm. I mean, yes.
Yeah, always.
We do have something else to talk about.
Please.
At least.
I love talking about other
good?
Things.
Is it about the future of content and how it's going to be really good?
No, hard pivot to the future of COVID.
I'm very excited for the future of COVID. I think it's going to be big.
Invest in COVID futures now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be huge, bigger than ever, guys.
Yeah, I would say the smart money is not on shorting COVID.
COVID, bigger than the Beatles, bigger than Jesus.
Omicron.
Per CI8.
Yeah.
I'm just
going
to start calling it Omi.
It's very funny. It's very funny that two cartoons from my adolescence and early adulthood later wound up associated directly with horrific tragedies because of their names or names in them. It's very funny.
What's the other one?
Archer and Isis.
Oh God! Oh, yeah,
that show does read a bit differently now.
Yep. What a point.
Yeah.
So yes, of course. Right. Was it on Thanksgiving? Right around then, the news comes from South Africa that a new variant has been discovered. And there's a lot to unpack here. But first off is just the reactions to it. Specifically travel bans. Travel bans are pretty pointless, especially since we know that it's already everywhere. It's everywhere. It's hasn't been officially discovered here in the United States, but it is here. It's been spreading. It's all over Europe.
I mean, it seems like the time for travel bans was like a year and like 9 months ago.
Yeah, if we'd like shut down all air traffic in February of 2020.
But like specifically.
For a couple of months. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
But like also specifically saying, okay, like there was lots of countries halting travel from South Africa, which is actually shitty. South African scientists discovered it and have now been penalized.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Discovering something vital to everyone. However, yeah, let's talk about Africa real quick, or just in general, the intellectual property protection that has been in place this whole time over the vaccines and the lack of availability that we have for the rest of the world. This is exactly what we've been talking about the entire time, that if you do not get everybody vaccinated, it will mutate. And mm-hmm. Africa specifically has a low vaccination rate and a high percentage of people with pre-existing conditions, which happens to be the breeding grounds for mutations to come about. So, and by the way, that's not saying anything about Africa. That's saying something about the rest of the world and the way that we've treated Africa, sure. But it's really frustrating. I was very angry when I saw, President Biden spoke up saying, like, we need to make the vaccine, lift the internet.
And then Moderna was like, no, thank you.
And like, fuck you. Say that from the beginning, man. This is yes. We've been also saying this.
Keep saying it. He pops in every like couple of months and be like, yeah, I think we should do that. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's it's so fucking bleak that South Africa has invested a so much money in having like an unparalleled like genetic analysis system for virology. Like they're really good at testing and looking for mutations and what, like that's why they were the first ones to find this. It didn't start there. They were just the first ones to find it. And as a result, they're just getting fucked over. Like they're short on reagents and stuff to continue testing because nobody's allowed to fly there. And it's,
well, look, I'll just say like, maybe it started there. Maybe it didn't, but it's not.
There's no evidence it started there.
But there's no evidence, right? That's just what everybody's trying. I'm just saying, like, maybe not. That's not the fucking point.
Well, and we should have known this. The reason it's called the Spanish flu isn't because it started in Spain. In fact, there's good evidence that say that it may have started in, like, Kansas. Mm-hmm. It's because since Spain was not dragged into World War II or World War I with everybody else, they didn't have restrictions on the press in the same way that everyone else had. So they were able to report on the fucking plague first. And as a result, it gets called the Spanish flu.
Right.
And maybe the people whose job it is to name these things should have decades ago put in a place to like very vigorously fight against identifying a strain with the country that it came out in. Although some of that, I don't know how much of that is the media. I'm not going to go too much on it. But like it's very frustrating that this keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
That the people who just most on the ball get punished.
And I don't want everybody to freak out immediately. You know, we have to wait and see. We have to see what conclusions are arrived at once they have more information. We don't know that it will lead to more deaths or hospitalizations, although it seems to be. But it is concerning. So I don't know. Delta had like, what, 5 mutations, 10? This one has 50.
A lot, like, yeah.
It says 50, like it's a lot a of ton. It affecting the spike proteins. It does not mean that our vaccines are now useless. We don't know. Scientists seem to think like most likely it's still much better than nothing. So it is definitely a wait and see. But, you know, I do notice that this people are governments are reacting quicker to this, which is either a sign of that it's worrying or that maybe people are learning. But I don't think learning. I think we're just used to this at this point.
Yeah. And I think we were so close to things getting quote unquote normal again, that they may be scared as shit of the possibility that like this is going to disrail that yet again.
I don't see how you could enforce lockdowns again. Like,
no.
I truly don't know. Maybe other countries, but here in America, I don't know.
No, we never did. We have done all that we will do as a country.
Yeah. Like, and we won't do it again.
We're done. There's no, even if the next virus that comes around is literally like a, you breathe it in and you're dead immediately. Like we will not take any precautions ever again for public safety. We are burnt out on taking care of each other.
That's bleak.
Good country.
Good.
I don't know. Maybe it's not that bad, but it certainly feels that way.
Yeah. We'll see. Gotta have hope for humans a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, hope. We could do better. Again, we have all of the tools to have locked down effectively and made it not be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. All right, we were capable. We could have done a number of things that we didn't do, but I don't know.
People to stay home.
Yeah, I think it is. It doesn't look like there's any real thing for people to change in terms of their behavior right now. Assuming you were actually being,
yeah,
careful.
Get your boosters.
Before. Like, don't, yeah, get yeah. your booster. Our wear
friend
a mask
Cave
in public.
Tweeted something like that. Don't use Omicron as an excuse to not get your booster, or like to wait to see if there's a different one. Get that booster shot.
Get your booster.
It's gonna be better than
nothing.
Yeah,
I still need. I'm working on it.
I need
it.
to this week. We got some more time, boys. Anything else? Jack Dorsey again stepping down as CEO. Not sure what to say about that.
Oh yeah, we could talk about that a little bit. So the guy who is replacing him. Oh gosh, I've forgotten his name.
Oh
again.
Sure.
But to be fair, I will always be angry that I know Jack Dorsey's name. So,
I don't know that I'm pronouncing this right. Parag Agrawal.
Parag
Agrawal. Yeah.
So, Parag is he came to the company in 2011. He'd worked at Microsoft and Yahoo, and probably I think one or two other places before that. He's an engineer, and he got like big pretty early on at pushing some, I think, mainly AI-driven changes to try to improve relevance of the tweets that people saw in order to increase engagement. Mm-hmm. And that was met with like an unparalleled boost in traffic to the site. Like he made changes to try to make the things people were seeing more relevant. And I don't entirely know what they mean by relevant. Oftentimes relevant means in social media terms, like makes people angry. So I'm not sure this is a good thing, but the changes he made significantly drove traffic to Twitter. And so he got like a special position. They like made him an engineer with like a special title to acknowledge that he had some huge impact on traffic. Dorsey says, and I don't think Dorsey's lying about this. I think Dorsey believes this, that Parag's been kind of behind and a major voice behind every positive move Twitter has made. And again, when Dorsey says positive, it means for Twitter being a profitable company and having lots of engagement and members. It does not mean like this is the thing, because this has been immediately politicized like everything is. And so a lot of people on the right are flipping out because, number one, Parag like tweeted a joke, like a line from a joke from a Saturday Night Live. No, it was a Daily,
it was a Daily
Show,
Show
video.
I think, right?
Years, yeah. Like a decade ago. That was, and the joke was like, if you're going to consider all Muslims to be potential extremists, then like why not consider all white people to be racist or something like that? Like, it was not even that fucked up a line. He was saying, if you're going to be racist in this way, why not be racist in that way? Like, it's perfectly reasonable thing to say, but he was also just quoting a joke sketch. But people have, so now there's this attitude that he's hyper woke. And the other thing is, there was this quote from him in an interview where he says, like, we're not concerned with the First Amendment at Twitter. And in the context of it, what he's saying is a guy's asking him like, hey, when you're talking about moderating discussion, stopping disinformation, and still supporting free speech, you know, how do you balance your desire to support free speech with, you know, your desire to or keeping the content moderated? And all he said was like, the First Amendment isn't our job. We're Twitter. Right? Like, we're not bound by the First Amendment. This is not an issue of freedom of speech. We're going to restrict stuff that's, in our view, bad for discourse, stuff like disinformation, right? That's what he was saying in that, which is perfectly reasonable and what every single social media company says, because none of them are bound by the First Amendment. It's not a First Amendment issue. But people are taking, on the right, are taking that as evidence that he's like hyper woke. I don't actually think there's any evidence that he is. He's tweeted his support of like the ACLU a few times, but the ACLU's like gone to bat for the free speech of Nazis. It is very much like a free speech absolutist kind of organization. I'm not critiquing them in that. I'm just saying like it's weird to call the ACLU hyper woke when they're really just like, we defend several of the amendments, not all of them, you know?
Yeah. I also I just can't
don't think any CEO is hyper woke. I just don't.
Well, I don't see evidence of that.
Because
I don't know
the
guy.
Hyper woke would be not being primarily concerned with, you know, your income or your growth. Like,
yeah.
Hyper woke would be genuinely caring about.
And
it's a useless term. What does it even mean anymore? Like, what do you mean? Like, hyper woke? Like,
yeah.
Police are shit. Like, what is it? Like,
I don't know.
Well, you know what it is.
Well, they're, what they're
us.
Doing.
It's well, us. It's I, like, I like only... trying to say, like, oh, this guy is going to be just like those people on Worst Year Ever.
I know what hyper woke means depending definition. On who says it. That's yeah. the thing. It's the same thing with, like, I don't know. It's like SJW, hipster, like whatever the word is. It's just so useless now. But I
yeah,
guess
and
not,
that's part of the
it's
point.
Not
and
because we they it is and it isn't like
the point of this is not that that this guy's done anything wrong or that there's in fact any evidence that he would be unfair to conservatives because there's not.
Right.
What it is about is if you accuse him of that and attack him for that, usually the way it works on these kinds of people is they then crack down on your opponents in order to make it seem like they're being fair.
Mm-hmm.
And right. that yeah, may be what just happened right. today because there was a Twitter announced a new rule today that you'll get banned for posting like what they just like pictures of people that they don't consent to having up, which like depending on how it's interpreted could destroy photojournalism on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could mean it's illegal to take a photo or video uh-huh. of like a protest. It could mean it's illegal to like film a guy shooting into a crowd or something. Like we don't
it's
really
so
know how they plan to enforce
it.
It could yeah. destroy guys like Andy No, or it could just make it illegal for people to point out when folks have neo-Nazi ties and will do nothing to harm him because they'll decide that him posting people's mugshots is in the public interest. We really don't know. Like
well,
that's the thing.
What...
Everybody's like flipping out that this guy's clearly so biased. Like, I have no idea where this
that's,
guy lands.
But also that's part of what I mean by like it's preemptive. Yeah. They start raising a stink now, then
yeah.
it's like putting them on guard because, mm-hmm. you know, well, we're going to have to capitulate at some point or we can't be seen as being aligned with progressives or, you know, not even progressives, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a
the hyper woke
did mm-hmm. that. Like it's
yeah, I mean, it's
like
yeah.
they the most popular like articles every single day on Facebook are like the Daily Wire and stuff. And they let them slip by with their various publication rules because they know, like, if we do this, then, like, they'll complain and then we'll get accused of this. So they have to, yeah, like you're saying, like, overcorrect in the other direction. I don't know.
That's cool. It's good stuff.
Ban websites, maybe. Also, like, he's, like, any, like, CEO or, like, just, like, oh, the CEO's hyper-woke. Is he trying to maximize profits
yeah.
and sort
yeah,
of like
that's what I mean.
Seeing like where the wind is blowing?
Yeah, exactly.
Which also yeah. isn't good, but like that's not the same.
That's what I mean. Like that's the most. Yeah. That's like the best case scenario from a CEO. Best case. It's not.
Yeah, I mean,
not
yeah. It's just not a thing we know much about, and it's not a thing I think one way or the other. Because yeah, this guy might wind up being horrible in a wide variety of reasons, as Jack Dorsey was. I just think it's foolish to assume, based on the information we have, that this guy has any overarching goals other than increasing the engagement and relevance of Twitter.
Exactly.
By his definition of those terms, you know?
Yeah, he wants people to stay on the website.
Yeah, exactly.
And if that means, like, cracking down on X or Y, he'll do that. If it means letting people go hog wild, he'll do that. If it means implementing, like, a rule that people hate... and then getting rid of it later so that people complain on the platform. Like, it's just whatever keeps people on the website
whatever
and engaged.
Whatever keeps people on the website and engaged. There is some good news to talk about at the end of this.
Is it Maxwell's trial?
No,
Maxwell's silver trial.
Because I really don't know what's going on
with
Gillen's trial. But, there's some Air Wars put out some conflict data showing kind of where we are on airstrikes since like over the last year that Biden's been in office and kind of there's here I'll put a link to the tweet in there so you can see it, but it's good the amount of airstrikes being conducted by the United States, the amount of like drone strikes being carried out by the United States are the lowest they've been like in a very long time since kind of unrestricted drone warfare really kicked off. Like if you look at where yeah. and you know, they dropped significantly over the course of Yeah, from starting, because they escalated massively the first 2 years that Trump was, or the first like year or so Trump was in office, and then started declining after that, and they've dropped down even further since Biden took office.
Because I thought in 2017, like late 2017, there were new regulations and new rules on how drone strikes are reported.
Well, it was the opposite. It was they stopped the requirement to report on.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I feel like a lot of the drop off is like, well, they're not
their
reporting
data comes
them
from
anymore.
Like stuff obviously that the U.S. admits to, but they don't limit the, like Air Wars does a pretty good job of like looking at, trying to determine this as best as possible.
Any okay, so it's of, like of not just like these were reported and reported. Also these and these.
Yeah.
And these.
Well, actually, this chart includes alleged strike and declared strike.
Alleged and declared. Okay. So Air Wars they do a lot of research to attempt to be as accurate as possible. Nothing's going to be perfect, but this probably is largely accurate to what's actually happened, which is that thing. And some of that's just because when things massively escalated under Trump, we were fighting ISIS in Mosul, you know, like that was a huge chunk of those. And that's part of why it started to drop in 2018. There's also been, you know, we're not in Afghanistan anymore. We've really pulled down our presence in Syria. So there's a number of reasons for this, but it is just like we're killing less people with drones than we were years ago. And that's good.
That's good.
So, that's something.
That's good.
Good. Yeah.
Way to bring it home for us this week, Robert.
Yeah. Less people are being killed by U.S. drone strikes. And that's something. Not the worst news.
No,
take that
not.
To the bank. Mm-hmm. Well, don't take that to the bank.
Don't take that to the bank.
Do you have an account here? What are you? Why are you telling me this? Like, this
where did you get this predator drone?
Also, yeah,
is this some sort of NFT? How is this monetized?
Is this some sort of NFT? That's the most common question I ask.
Yeah, only go to the bank if you have money. Like, that's not like don't take this drone.
Don't take this conversation even.
Unless you're going to rob a bank with a drone, which that has to happen at some point.
I would say don't do that. Also, don't do that.
I'm not telling you to do that, but if you did that, it would probably be pretty cool.
You'd probably get some... Well,
we better end this show.
It would probably be sweet. Look, things can be cool, and I'm not endorsing them. I'm just saying if somebody robbed a bank with drones, that would probably be pretty rad.
So you're saying NFTs are cool, you just don't endorse them.
If they funded their drone bank robbery scheme by selling NFTs, I guess those NFTs I would think were cooler than other NFTs because we got a real world drone bank robbery out of it.
And then there'll be a show with all these little different the drone family.
Well, you get the drone footage too, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of
really exciting.
I would
content
trajectories.
Yeah. If the promise of NFTs was just more creative crowdfunded bank robberies, I think I would probably not be critiquing them so hard, and we wouldn't have all watched that 8-minute cartoon.
And 20 years from now, NFTs are going to fund the revolution somehow.
It's called content creation, and we crave it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
The
that's
only
it.
Human desire.
I'm calling it for today.
That's it.
Yeah.
No more. This is fun. This is so fun. At Worst Year Pod online. You know the things.
Couldn't agree
more. Already followed us. You already know it.
Online.
Rate and review. I've been told that's a good thing to say.
Rate and review.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.